What up, family? It's your man, Hugh Holland, and you are now rocking with the most in-depth show in hip-hop.
Yo, what's good, y'all? It's your boy, BRM.
Hey, yo, this is D-Rock.
What's good? This is your boy, Intellect.
Yo, what up, everybody? This is Mitch Durrell.
What's good, everybody? This your boy, TC, and you rocking with the Bookkeeper 24-7 podcast, whose hands always on that plow. So keep it tuned in, because we in the field, man, changing the culture for God. Let's go. I got it all.
It's right there. I got it all in my boogie book. Yeah. Bookkeeper. My bookie 24-7. I got it all in my boogie book. Yeah. We in our bag now. All in my boogie book. Yo. Hey. Yo. Yo. Hey, welcome to the show. Hello. 24-7, Lord, hit him with the glow. Bleak. New podcast, and we do it for your soul. Bookkeeper 24, we do it for the bros. True fellowship with the saints, boy, you know. You now know. I keep the book. To keep the foe, uh-huh. Hit it in my heart and I put it on my phone. Okay. Sincere milk, now it's time for you to grow. And hear the good news, for it's time for you to go.
Powered by TBK247.com. Welcome to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast with my husband and your host, Daryl Kemp. Thank you, as well as our new listeners, for joining us. On this podcast, we interview artists that we feel should be on everyone's radar and discuss not just music, but their testimony, musical influences, and other topics throughout our culture. In the 23rd episode, Daryl chops it up with Christian hip-hop artist Baruch. They discuss his debut album entitled Chosen. They discuss how his gifts makes room. They also discuss how God's favor landed him a feature with 1K Few. Baruch shares his powerful testimony regarding drugs while he was demon-possessed. Last but not least, he shares great advice on how to truly accept Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. This interview is packed with information and so much more. You definitely will want to tune in until the end. Don't forget, if you really want to help us grow, smash that like button, subscribe to the channel, and hit the alert button to be notified for the most in-depth show in hip-hop, the Bookkeeper 247 podcast. Thanks for joining us, Baruch. And without any further delay, let's go! Let's go!
Hey, what's up? This is Kayla Kim. Check out Chosen by Baruch featuring Tremise Young and then dive into the most in-depth show in hip-hop with my dad and Baruch, only on the Bookkeeper 24-7 podcast. Holla!
Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. They'll even do greater things than these because I'm going to be with the Father. And Lord, I come into agreement with everything that you have said. Holy Spirit, have your way.
He said we'd do greater things. They prophesy private planes and talk about diamond rings and all of the finer things. They moving like Dr. Strange. They lose just like pocket change. I guess that's the price of fame, but me, I don't think the same. I go for the perfect game, on point just like IV, because I gotta stay in the vein. Yeah, I know they trying to box me in. I ain't conforming to this world. I say his breath, they say it's oxygen. I'm foiling the plot again. Seeing through distractions, they on strings like a violin. Want me to get violent. Be angry but sin not, I can't live on autopilot. Man gotta control itself. If you don't know the Holy Spirit, tell me how you supposed to know yourself. I remember it was no one else, crying out to God all alone like, show yourself. And then he really showed himself. Dropped down to my knees and I repent, I need my Father's help. Remember like it was yesterday, smoking back to back like I was trying to take my breath away. Couldn't even concentrate. Now that boy is sober, I got things I gotta delegate. Hold up, let me demonstrate. Open up the word, see the truth, the devil been a fake. We ain't woke, dog, we been away. Boasting in the Lord, I was chosen just to motivate. Show him love, embrace the hate. I'm screaming, what would Jesus do while I'm riding like a license plate?
I grew up off that Section 8. Patience, perseverance, that's the only way we orchestrate. Look at how we overcome. Worshiping the King got us popping like some bubblegum. El Shaddai and Yahweh. We gon' spread the gospel in the hedges, in the byways. All I need is one ring. I ain't talking about LeBron, but I'm winning with this King James. Or you can do the NIV. Whatever translation, I'm just hoping that you intercede. Open up that book and read. I don't know about you, but for me, I'm about to sow a seed.
Do you know you're chosen? Do you know you're chosen? Do you know you're chosen?
Do you? Do you? Do you?
Do you know you're chosen?
Do you?
Do you know you're chosen?
Do you?
Do you know you're chosen?
Do you? Do you?
Don't let your emotions control you. Unless you know your authority, you'll never rule your world. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ gave me authority. The devil gun is empty. At the cross, Jesus took the bullets. It's a union with me and Jesus. When Christ died, we died. When he rose, we rose. When he was seated on the right side, we were seated with him. Stay in the fruit of your spirit. You keep authority. The Lord will fight for you through your silence. Stop reaching out to people. Stop complaining. Talk to God.
What up? What's up? And what it do, Baruch?
What's going on? What's going on? How you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good. Welcome to the podcast. Good to have you here.
Appreciate it, man. So it's a blessing, just this opportunity just to sit here and chat with you right now.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Really looking forward to it, my brother. So here go the icebreaker. Who is Baruch?
Baruch. Man, Baruch is a name that was passed down to me from my dad. So my dad's name was Baruch. And it's a Hebrew name that means blessed. So I'm just a young man just trying to live up to the name that God has given me. So Baruch is trying to be a blessing to others, anyone I come in contact with, and trying to be a blessing to this life that God has given me. So just an artist, minister, a entrepreneur, a husband, a father, and a son. So, yeah.
Amen. And you share with me behind the scene who Baruch was in the Bible. Mind sharing with the family?
Yeah. So a lot of people are familiar with Jeremiah, but a lot of people may not dig deep to know that Baruch was the scribe for Jeremiah. And what a scribe is a writer, someone that wrote on the scrolls and different things. So in the Bible, people had people to write for them. And that's what Baruch was for Jeremiah. He's someone that was with him and that took note and took account and what actually events taking place. So the writer.
Amen. Yes, sir. That's dope. I like that. And I like that that name was passed down to you as well in the in the significant meaning behind your name. And I think that's very dope. So Baruch, tell us where you're from.
I'm from Rock Island, Illinois. That's the Midwest. That's the Quad Cities. I was born in Melrose Park, right outside Chicago, and raised in Rock Island, Illinois, 2 hours away. And just a small town in Illinois.
So what's it like growing up in a small town like Rock Island?
It's very, very diverse because you have people. We have an army base here called the Arsenal, and people from all over move here. So there's every ethnic background here. And it's really, really small. There's one high school. So from elementary to junior high, two junior highs into high school, one high school. So we all know each other. Everyone, your mom know someone else's auntie, your auntie knows someone else's nephew, and everybody may know your teacher, may went to school with your pastor. Like, it's a small place where everybody knows each other. And there's pretty much no keeping to yourself. So
yes, sir. That's awesome though, because I think that, you know, as the world, these big cities, and that to me feels like more of a old school, like if you get in trouble on this street, by the time you make it home, you may be disciplined and spanked or whatever before you get home, and then your parents getting the phone call before you even reach the porch, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It takes a community to raise a child is what they say. Yeah. So that's all right right there. So how was your upbringing?
My upbringing was a little shifty. So my mom, she's just a church going woman. Like, so I was raised in the church, but my dad, my mom and dad were married, but they eventually separated. If I had to look back, I say they separated sometime while I was in elementary. So with my upbringing being in a small town, my dad was always around. He was always around the corner. So, and he would always pop up at my house. So I felt like I had a two-parent household for quite some time until I got older and realized that I actually was raised by a single mother. So my mom and my sister, all through high school, all the way up to high school, up to college. And that was my upbringing, school and church, youth choir, Sunday school, usher board meetings. So I went to church for 18 years of my life until I got to make the own decision to do what I wanted to do. So.
Amen. So you was basically born into the church then?
Yeah, that's all I knew growing up. I was in church more than school.
That's awesome. Who would you say your biggest influence growing up was?
Like from a community standpoint, or just like what I may have heard on the radio or TV?
Like from a community standpoint.
His name would be Chris Britton. He was the youth director at a place called Christian Friendliness or Youth Hope. And it was one of the only black role models that I had outside the church. That he played basketball with the kids, he played games with the kids, he did lessons with the kids, and he was just someone he kind of mentored me just by me paying attention to him. Like, man, this is a guy right here that he says he's a Christian, he loves God, and he's not wearing like what I would used to call church clothes, and he's just having fun with his life, and he's not really into being in the streets. And that growing up I didn't see men not in the streets too. Like, I always seen one foot in, one foot out. And just watching him, like, eventually was that seed that was planted into me that, man, I'm gonna give my life to Jesus.
Yes, sir. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Oh, and he rapped. He rapped. Cut you off, but he was a rapper, he was a poet, spoken word. He was very creative. So a lot of that poured into me.
Yes, sir. That's awesome. That is awesome. I think it's very important when our spouse supports us spiritually, independently, and also supports our dreams and careers. Does that make it easier for you as a full-time artist, knowing you have the support from your wife and kids?
Yes. Oh, my goodness. That is a weight off my shoulder, to have the support of my wife. Because as a creative, sometimes it just, not even sometimes, this whole thing is by faith. So you have to, the person supporting you has to see the vision, and they have to have faith in what you're doing, or else it's going to be like, why are you going to the studio right now? We need to get this done. Why are you listening to beats 24/7, the same instrumental over and over and over again? Or I might show up to go perform like I did last night, and my wife was there recording, being able to catch clips that I could post and encourage me when I got off stage, like, you did great, God used you. Like, that was better. Remember last year? You got better since then. Like, that stuff is motivating. And to have her support, it just means so much to me.
Yes, sir. What advice would you give to a married couple seeking ministry? Not necessarily just like yours, but we know that we have a lot of separation in the church. Is like, we may be seeking God, one of the spouses may be seeking God in ministry and then forget about the home. So what type of advice could you give to couples, to married couples, that to do the work of God as well as still be family?
Yeah, well, my advice would be to, marriage is the first ministry. Your house, your home is the first ministry. So it goes God, then your spouse, then your kids. So I would say focus on a structure in your home and get to a place where everything in your home is flowing and moving at a pace where you feel like, okay, now we can pour outside of our home. I would say preparation, everything that you want to do, prepare for it, but don't rush it. Like, you don't have to go for example, I'm an artist and now I'm posting stuff on Instagram and now music is coming out and now I'm doing performances. But all last year, I didn't do any of that. All last year was working a job and intimacy with my wife outside of being sexual, but communication, structure with the kids, taking notes at church, having accountability with our pastor and seeking wise counsel first. Then everything that we learned in the previous season, we're able to pour out through ministry now, and we don't have to come home and question each other like, why'd you say this to that person, or how come this happened? Because we went through stuff together first.
Amen. Yeah, that's some great advice. Switching role to role sometimes creates a lack of intimacy, time with God, like you're reading the Bible daily, or it may become a chore more than it is intimate. How do you handle that?
Just being conscious and aware of burnout. If you start to feel burnt out, then you know you haven't been in his presence long enough. You know you haven't been devoted to your word, because God will direct. He directs our footsteps. You know, the Holy Spirit helps us daily. So when I start to feel frustrated, burnt out, or if I start to get in the place of doing stuff in my own strength, then I'm able to look back and be like, oh, I haven't been in my word long enough, because I didn't receive a revelation. I just read it just to do it. And trying to stay away from routine, but more relationship with Jesus, actually being in a place of brokenness, like, Lord, I need you. One, because I just need you because of who you are. And two, I need you to accomplish what you have called me to do, because we don't want to be doing anything without him. So
amen.
That's to answer your question in a nutshell, it's paying attention to my surroundings and being in a place where iron sharpens iron. So I see my wife in prayer. I see my wife in her word. I see my brothers and sisters in Christ when they talk to me. Bro, I was just reading John last night, and that brings a remembrance, like, this is the body that I'm in. Let me make sure so I got something to talk about too, because I want to come. Man, I was in Matthew's this morning, you know, and it's exciting. So
yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. Before we get cut to this first break, I did see some of your performance last night, and I've seen where you mentioned how your grandmother prayed for you.
Mm-hmm.
Did your grandmother play and God rest her soul? Because I've seen that part as well. Does she have a special place in your heart is what I'm asking?
Yes. Yes. So my grandma, like I said, I was raised pretty much in a single household with my mom. So therefore, my mom had to work a lot. And so I will always be at my grandma's house. And my grandma, she was the one type of woman. She was the church hat woman. She was the woman that had a, when you go, everybody at the church know this is where she sits. This is, her name was Grandma Ola. Her last name was Angel. So Grandma Ola Angel. And she just was a woman of God. She was really quiet. She was really reserved. She was old school. And she would be the one, pull your pants up. Or she never had to yell and snap at me. All she had to do was give me a look, and I knew to straighten up. Like she installed discipline in me at an early age. And the Bible says, raise a child up in the way that they should go, so when they grow old, they won't depart from it. Yes, my mom was the one that took me to church, but my grandma raised my mom. So she poured in the word into my mom, which poured into me. And my grandma, it crossed my mind one day that my grandma was the one that prayed for the family. Now I can step in and be that one that prays for my entire family, because I know that was our covering. Amen. That was the one standing in the gap. So now that's me for my family.
Yes, sir. Amen. I appreciate you sharing that special moment with us. You are listening to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast with our special guest, Baruch. When we come back after these messages, we will be hearing his testimony.
Today is a great day to start your own podcast. Whether you're looking for a new marketing channel, have a message you want to share with the world, or just think it would be fun to have your own talk show, podcasting is an easy, inexpensive, and fun way to expand your reach online. Buzzsprout is hands down the easiest and best way to launch, promote, and track your podcast. Your show can be online and listed in all the major podcast directories like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and more within minutes of finishing your recording. If you want to upgrade, Buzzsprout has tons of guides to help you find the right equipment at the right price. Also, if you would like to receive a $20 gift card from Amazon, follow the link in the show notes and sign up for a paid plan. This will notify Buzzsprout that we sent you and you'll receive more details. This will definitely help support our show. Podcasting isn't hard when you have the right partners, and the team at Buzzsprout is passionate about helping you succeed. Join over 100,000 podcasters who's already using Buzzsprout to get their message out to the world. Let's create something great together.
This is Kyle Kemp from the Bookkeeper247.com. Music represents our uniqueness, our freedom, and helps define who you are. Good music is art, expression, and good music is always personal. The Bookkeeper 24/7 understands the influence music has on our lives. So on our website, we have the best Christian music for the culture. If you'd like to submit your music or videos to our website, we have the link in the show notes. Now back to the most in-depth show in hip-hop with my dad on the Bookkeeper 24/7 podcast.
All right, welcome back to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast, family, where we are sitting down and chopping it up with Baruch. As we move into this segue, I'd love to hear a testimony, and so do our listeners. Talk to us about the transition of unsaved Baruch to accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. That's so awesome right there. So like I mentioned earlier, I was raised in church, so I want to say around the time of maybe 15 years old, I said, Mom, I don't want to go to church no more. Because by now, in this small community, I'm witnessing kids are having sex now. Kids are drinking, smoking, partying. They're doing all types of things. And I'm starting to feel a little peer pressure because I'm starting to realize, like, I'm really different because it's just in me. And I know it was the hand of God on me where I didn't want to participate in any of those things, but I wanted to be around. I had cousins that wouldn't want to stay or spend a night at my house on Saturdays. And the weekend is when kids get a break from school and hang out and stay at each other's house, play games. Well, it got to a place where everybody, all the kids loved me, wanted to be around me, but they was like, if you stay at Baruch House, you got to go to church on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I knew that. So mm-hmm. I said, Mom, I don't want to go to church no more. She said, well, when you're 18 and you're grown, you can make your own decisions. Mm. So as soon as I turned 18, I left the church immediately. I left the church and it was like, I felt like some sense of freedom, some false freedom where I went and got tattoos. I started smoking. I started throwing parties. I started drinking and I was young, but I just started getting into any and everything that I could just to fit in. I wanted to fit in with people. I got dreads. I got a nose piercing. What ended up happening was I just got deep into that lifestyle of rap, secular rap. I would lock myself in the studio. I would go studio to studio. And I built this local buzz around in my city where it was, okay, Baruch's the rapper. He's the partier. He's the smoker. He's the fun time. And because of my upbringing, I was really respectful to women. Mm-hmm. But being in that rap lifestyle, it kind of made you feel like you had to have all the girls, and all the guys are like, man, you're the man. So that was me before crossing over to surrendering my life to Jesus, because I'd never had a relationship with Jesus. I just knew of the God in the Bible. I just knew the God that my grandma served. Mm-hmm. And I just knew how to say the books of the Bible, like Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Ruth. I could say it in order, but I didn't have any substance, because I couldn't tell you what was happening in those mm-hmm. in those scriptures. Mm-hmm. But I prided myself of if when the pastor says turn to this page, I can find it really quickly. But I don't know what's going on. I got baptized when I was a kid. I didn't know what I was doing. So yeah, I left the church and I was pursuing fortune and fame. I had a cousin that was a DJ in Atlanta, which gave me access to celebrities. So being around Future, Travis Porter, being in studios out in Atlanta, which is like a really mecca for music. And I took that style home with me, and I began to seek different celebrities in Chicago. Like, I went up to Chicago and hung out with Tory Lanez, and I went up to Arizona and California. I'm doing shows, I'm getting on the radio, and all the while, my dad, he ended up going to jail for 5 years for, you know, he was in the streets. I can speak on that, and I'll get back to why I can now. But my dad was in the streets, which ended up causing him to go to jail for 5 years. So he missed my whole high school. So now I don't have, not only is my father not in the house, now he's not even outside. So I really don't have any male guidance. Just partying, hanging out, pursuing fortune and fame, being a secular rapper, going to clubs, rapping, going into strip clubs, and opening that access up to all these different unclean influences. And during that time, my grandma, that's when she passed away. Well, when she passed away, I was already in that phase of my life listening to Wiz Khalifa and Juicy J, and they would drink lean and smoke. So I was doing that. I got a call that said, come to the hospital. And I'm thinking like, okay, my grandma in the hospital, I'll be there eventually. But I was smoking and smoking and smoking. And eventually I get up to the hospital. I'm sure I was under the influence. And my grandma, she passed away. And that was like, that was just eye-opening to me. That broke me, because this is like one of the first times someone close to me that I would see every day. I would drive her to church. So she passed away. And that just tore something into me, where I was like, here I am smoking, and I'm so addicted to smoking that I'm not even there for with my family. You know, I didn't even get to say my last goodbyes. So I took that really hard, and I was like, I'm gonna start wearing my pants above my waist. My grandma would always say, cut your hair. You're handsome. You don't need to be looking like that. So yeah, I tried to straighten up myself. I started carrying a pocket Bible, and then I went back to college. Like, after high school, I was just out here. When she passed away, I went to college. So I went to college a year and a half after I graduated. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna get my life together. I'm gonna go to college, I'm gonna become successful, and I'm not gonna waste my life away. So when I went to college, I began to try to quit smoking. And then when I started to straighten up my act, I felt the presence of the Lord strong on me, to the point where it's like, I wanna go back to church. Like, I just wanna get my life all the way together. So I attempted to do that. It was just this force holding me back. More people wanted to smoke with me. I ended up getting arrested by the police, and that they kept me in jail for 3 days, which dropped me from some of my college courses. And life began to get really hard. Mm-hmm. As I tried to get, in a sense, closer to God and my life together, that's when life became even harder. And I started to feel depression. I started to feel angry. I started to have anxiety, night sweats, weird dreams. That's when I fully realized that I was addicted to marijuana and I couldn't stop. I would go to church, I would pop in here and there, and I feel like people were looking at me and judging me. I went through, I don't want to listen to secular music no more. So I just was so lost. I was just so lost. And then I was smoking one day, crazy, with some people from college. And then while I was standing outside, I heard the voice of God. Not the audible voice of God, but just like in my conscience, I was standing there looking up at the moon, at the sky, and I just began to hear this voice, and this peace came over me. Like, and what I remember was Christian artists, Christian rap. Like, it was just this in my heart posture to make Christian rap, and I felt at peace, at love in that moment. It was like, I felt like a Moses in the burning bush, where God was speaking. And in that moment, the God that I believed in, I received faith, because I was like, God is real. And I'm looking out at the people, I'm like, they don't hear this. Like, I'm looking around at the world, and I knew I was high, but it's like my high went away. And I just was like, man, in that moment, I was like, man, God is real. He's talking to me. Like, he wants me to be somebody. He wants me to be something. And I was excited. But I had no discipleship. I had no brothers in Christ, or no one like like, read this Bible verse, read this, do this. It was me trying to do it all by myself, but God was calling on me. And the word says something about that the thorns would try to choke that word out of you. And if you're not on good soil, that rocky ground, you know what I'm saying, the birds would come up and eat it away. And that's what happened to me. The enemy came through and started to spread lies right after I had this moment that God is real. I also had this moment like, man, the enemy is real and he's trying to kill, steal, and destroy. And I told God, like, no, I don't want that. I don't want to be a Christian rapper. I don't want to give up making secular music. I tried it and it's lame. It's corny. No one's going to want to listen to me. That's not cool. So I, in a sense, I rejected God. So I kept my faith to myself. I didn't tell nobody I believed in God. I didn't tell nobody that I really believed that he's real. I just kept it to myself. And I tried to blend in. And the more I tried to blend in, the more depression I felt. Years later, this was 5 years of me trying to hide, because I wasn't even a Christian. I wasn't claiming I was a Christian. I was just somebody that had that moment of, man, God is real. He spoke to me. I went back into smoking and drinking and partying and trying to act like it never happened. And I tried to convince myself, man, I'm crazy. I'm tripping. Like, that didn't really happen. Well, what happened is my dad, he got out of prison. Ooh, let me back up. Right before he got out of prison, while he was in prison, it got really deep, intense. I started to get depressed. I started to hear a voice that said, kill yourself. Your grandma passed away. She went to heaven. And you know, in the Bible, when God is calling people away, you missed the rapture. You got left behind. You're going to go to hell. But if you want to go to heaven, you need to kill yourself. And that voice was so loud and I heard it, and I'm looking around at people like, dang, they can't hear it. If I tell somebody and I'm hearing voices, they're going to tell me I'm crazy. Mm-hmm. And they're going to tell me, no, you just smoke too much. I just bottled it up. I kept that spiritual warfare that was going on. I kept it to myself. I didn't go talk to a pastor. I didn't talk to my mom. I didn't even tell my friends about it. I tried to bury that by myself, which caused me to drink more, smoke more. And the big part of my testimony with what I want to get to is that took me to a place of deep, deep, deep depression, where now I'm acting out of character because this voice is telling me all types of things like, touch this tree, walk here. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, is this God? Is this God? Is this God? I'm questioning myself, like, whose voice is this? Because I can't decide, like, because this voice is telling me to do 3 good things, then out of nowhere, it'll tell me to do a bad thing, like to hurt somebody or to harm myself, or it'll speak negative about me. And I'm like, man, I don't think God would say that to me. And it got so unbearable for 3 to 5 years. It got so unbearable that it got to me. And I began to do the most outrageous stuff. I began to take my clothes off and wander the streets and walk the streets. And I look at a stop sign and my brain would be like, stop. I look at a one way and it'd be like, walk this way. And I walk down a one way. That voice just led me to do so many different things. But before I would go over the edge, I would stop myself. And I know it was God allowing me, but to stop myself, like, that ain't the right thing to do. I'm about to just go home and act like this didn't happen. Mm-hmm. Well, God, I was wandering the streets. That's how I can explain it. Like, the people in my area, I don't know about everywhere else, but there's people that walk the streets and they yell out things and they just yell things out their mouth and they pace back and forth and they wear the same clothes over and over and over, where eventually it got to the point where that was me. And I was looking raggedy. I was looking dingy. I was losing weight. And I was just out here walking the streets looking homeless. All my friends, they had moved off, went to college, moved away. And I was just here by myself, just kind of trying to process and get more depressed. Like, I went from popular, I went from a well-known rapper in my community that everybody wants to be around me, to like struggling, no money, no food to eat, hearing voices. Police wouldn't even want to pull me over and take me to jail for misdemeanors and stuff. It got to a point where they would take me to a place called Robert Young Center, which is what we call like a crazy home, and lock me away in there. And the nurses would have you take pills to subdue you and keep you like a zombie or whatever. I tried to commit suicide while I was in there. I picked up a Bible and read it, and the voice was like, read only the red words. And I was reading the red words, and it was like, if your eye something, then pluck your other eye out. And I'm like, what? The Bible's telling me to stab my eye and take it out. if I look lustily at something and I was taking it literal. And that's my story, man. I was demon possessed because I tried to fight police. I got tase marks on my back. I tried to fight nurses. I was losing control of my mind in my deepest, deepest place. My dad was in prison around that time still. And in my deepest place, it's like a blur, but I remember it. I remember kicking. I remember spitting. I remember fighting and yelling and lashing out. But I also remember being conscious inside of there, aware that what I was doing, but I just couldn't stop. And I was just crying out to God on the inside. Like, it was kind of like the movie Get Out, where it's like I didn't have control of my actions. Yeah, I was in the hospital. Oh Jesus, I got to tell the whole thing. I was in the hospital because I was in the Robert Young Center, and I needed medical attention, medical help, and I started to cry out to God. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't know what was going wrong with me, and I'm hearing demons. I'm hearing voices, not just the voices in my head, but I'm hearing demons and other people saying that they're going to harm me. I felt like somebody wanted to kill me. I felt like my loved ones were against me, like my whole world was just fading away. I couldn't take no more, so I just started screaming and yelling out to God, like, Lord, you said you weren't going to forsake me. You said you'll never leave me. And I started screaming and crying out to that God, that voice that I heard so many years ago. I started to cry out and scream to him and call on him. I started to pray in my head. I started to think about God, like, Lord, I need you. I need you. If you help me out of this, my biggest prayer was like, Lord, if you restore me to sanity, if you give me my right mind back, if you give me another chance, I'll follow you. I'll quit smoking. Like, I'll come to you. I got out of that situation because I ran to a friend's house, and I had IVs still in my arm. He took the IVs out of my arm, and he fed me. I stayed with him and his mom for a little while. I kind of just try to put that behind me because, like, a couple of days went by and I just began to put my clothes back on instead of hospital clothes. And I began to play video games with my friend. And I began to just kind of act like that season of my life never happened. And then, one day it just clicked. Like, I just was like back in my right state of mind. And people in the community would talk about me behind their back. Like, y'all know Baruch used to be crazy. Y'all know Baruch used to, he was arrested by the police. Y'all know that. You know that he was like that. Everybody behind my back was just like, man, y'all know he was crazy. And I just tried to play it off like it never happened. I got in a relationship because when I got on Facebook, I had so many notifications and so many inboxes with people saying, man, hope you feel better. Get well soon. Thinking about you, praying for you. Heard you was having a hard time. But this girl that I had a crush on, she reached out to me like, hey, Baruch, just hope you're doing good. And when I got out the hospital or the Robert Young Center, I messaged her back and I said, I'm doing good. Let's hang out. And she said, let's go Black Friday shopping at the mall. I said, okay. So I linked up with her to go to the mall. I went from that deep depression, that deep suicide, that deep demonic terror. And God moved that from my life. And instead of seeking a relationship with Jesus, I kind of just was like, all right, thanks God, deuces. And I seek the relationship with this girl. And I stayed with her for 4 years, just trying to feel love, trying to act like it never happened, trying to just be like, okay, let me shake that behind me and let me get back to music. Let me get back to grinding. Let me get back to seeking fortune and fame. Let me get back to smoking, drinking and partying. And I did that for 4 years. But then I got to a place where I still had this God-sized void in my heart. Mm-hmm. So I said, let's go to church. She was like, no. I said, okay, I'm about to go to church. So I started to go to church. And when I go to church, they would pray for me. And this sense of I need God started to come back around. Yeah, every time I would show up to church, they would pray for me. But she would never go with me. So we just prayed over our food and we just kept going with life like that. Well, I get back into the streets because now I'm a rapper and I can't provide for myself, can't provide for studio time, can't provide for this persona, this look that I want to keep. So I started to sell weed. And then I end up one day getting pulled over by the police. I was nervous. I was scared. So I drove away. I fled and eluded the police, which ended up having them come to my house. And they took my girl's car. And she, she was raised Jehovah's Witness. So she didn't smoke. She didn't drink. She didn't do any of that. So she wasn't a Christian, but she also wasn't living a in the street lifestyle. She like had a job and was doing things the right way, so to speak. So when I got her car taken, that caused the friction between me and her, and she was upset with me. And I was wanted by the police for about 10 days, and her mom were mad at me. Like, you got to turn yourself in. So eventually, after running the streets for a while, I turned myself in. I got arrested. They arrested her. And I'm just having this moment like, what am I doing with my life? Like, I tried to get my life together and go to college and dropped out of college. I tried to get my life together and go to church and stop going to church and got back in the streets. Now here I am getting this good girl arrested by the police because me being ignorant out here. And I wasn't raised like this. Like, I was on the honor roll. I grew up going to church. I was like who people say he's the good kid. And here I am doing all of this wrong. And I was just feeling convicted. So after I got out of jail for that time that I was in there, because I was in and out of jail all my whole teenage year. Like, I literally was in jail probably 20 times, the county, 2 days, one night, spending the night in and out for misdemeanor, smoking, drinking, all little stuff. It's not little stuff. I don't, for anyone hearing, I don't want to consider that little stuff. But I mean, I was around people that went to prison. Mm-hmm. People my age, they went to prison for robbing banks, for shooting at people, for doing stuff like that. And I got to a place of our relationship got so bad that I broke up with her. I broke up with this girl. I loved her, but she just was on the right track. And I feel like I was weighing her down. And in a sense, that broke her heart. Because she stuck by me through all my negative stuff. But looking back on it, that was God separating one. He can't get to her with me in a way. And he can't get to me with me clinging after her. So I broke up with her and I went to California with my friends. And I was still pursuing fortune and fame, still smoking and hanging out. But I came back in town because the house that I lived at with my girlfriend at the time, the lease was up. So I came in town to help her move. Well, when I came in town to help her move, just that being familiar with her, just that lust, we ended up sleeping together. And shortly after, she showed up, and we were broken up. But shortly after, she showed up to my mom's house like, hey, I think I'm pregnant. Mm. And then that's when all reality hit me. Like, now I have a baby on the way with the girl that I feel like I love, but I'm not even with her no more. So I had a baby on the way. And I say all of that. To truly know what I come from to this moment was defining. The baby was on the way. So if I had 9 months, now the time clicked. I have 9 months to get my life together. Mm-hmm. I tried to quit smoking. I tried to get a good job. I kept trying to do all these different things in my own strength. Nothing would ever work out. And I just felt hopeless. I couldn't do it. Now the baby's here. Now that the baby's here, I'm still smoking. I'm still quitting jobs. I'm still doing things wrong. She wanted to know, okay, what are we doing? Are we getting back together? And I just was like, no, let's just stay friends. Let's just figure it out. And that made her feel like, what? You bringing a baby in the world with me and you don't want to be with me? So that caused some bitterness and some hurt in her. So now I have a hard relationship with the mother of my child because she's trying to raise him on her own because I'm not bringing nothing to the table. Well, he was born, this is my testimony right here. My son was born May 8th, 2017. And when he was born, he took his first breath before he came out of the womb, which is called swallowing stool. So he took his first breath and swallowed everything in his mom. And the doctors and nurses rushed into the room to make sure he can breathe, to basically make sure that this isn't a tragic situation. Mm-hmm. And I began to think about God. I began to pray in my mind and I began to lean back on that faith. Like, Lord, I've been through all of this crazy roller coaster in my life. I know you're not about to take my son from me. Lord, I know that he's going to be okay. I just know it. So I just came into agreement with God about him and my faith grew even more. The God that protected me from all this stuff that I went through, because I literally should be dead or in jail through the stuff I went through. My son was sent to Peoria. He had surgery, but he ultimately became healthy. He ultimately lived. Like, and God blessed me with a healthy baby boy. Even after that, I would see him as a as an infant. I would try to be there feeding him bottles. And then when I would give him back to his mom, I would go search for jobs, go try to quit smoking, go try to pop into church for prayer, just on the run. My dad, he was out of jail now. So I was building this relationship with my dad. This is where it get even deeper. Well, my son was born May 8th. 7 months later, November 9th, my dad, he was in the hospital for a check-in and he passed away. Mm-hmm. So 2017, on November 9th was my sister's birthday. My dad passed away because he had a disease called sarcoidosis. It's what Bernie Mac had passed away from. Mm. It makes you swell up. It caused your lungs to have trouble breathing. So he was coughing and so my dad passes away. I have a son. So 2017 was a really crazy year for me because now I don't have a dad to teach me how to be a father. Not only that, my dad wasn't the church going dad. My dad was in the streets and my dad was a womanizer. He had a lot of girls, and I have a lot of siblings in different states. So there was this friction between me and my dad because he always told me he loved me, but he was doing things that God wouldn't be proud of. And my mom, she never really told me she loved me like that, but she was like trying to live a life as a Christian. My dad passed away, and instead of seeking Jesus, I still kept going the wrong way. His funeral broke me, so, because that's my name, seeing my name on the obituary, having to show up at the church that I was raised at and speak to all of those different people. I was numb. So here's where I went from just smoking weed to now I popped a pill for the first time with somebody. I did acid. I'm getting into deeper things, opening myself up to deeper things. And I'm hanging around drug dealers, and I'm just sitting around in a trap, and I'm just wasting my life away. I'm not even going to the studio no more. I'm just drunk. I'm literally drinking and driving and like hanging out with the wrong crowd. And the next year, my cousin that I told you about that was a DJ in Atlanta, he's a little older than me. He passed away. So now I got all this death going on in my family, and I have a baby boy that needs me, but I barely see him. What happened was I made a decision, which was not a good decision, to just travel, go to Atlanta, move around. And I didn't see my son for 7 months. So from the time he was one, I didn't see him again till he was 2 years old. So 7 months went by, and I was like, you know what? Since his mom is trying to make me see him on her terms, I'm gonna go get my life together, and then I'm gonna come back for my son or take her to court. Didn't happen. I couldn't get my life together. So when I came back in town, I end up finding myself sitting down on the couch with an atheist, smoking and playing video games, and he was telling me how he didn't believe in God. And at that moment, I just looked at him. I put the blunt down, and at that moment, I went outside, and I just was like, I had the heart posture of, I can't do life no more without Jesus. Mm. I can't do it no more. Like, I'm losing all my loved ones. I have nowhere to turn to. I have nothing. I have no purpose in life. I need to go find that God that spoke to me and that I know he hears me. So I got up, I put the blunt down. And this was in 2020, 3 years later, after my dad passed and my son was born. Basically 2.5 years later, because the beginning of 2020, right before the pandemic, I went to my mom's house. I said, Mom, I want to go to church tomorrow. She said, okay. So I took her to my friend's church. Then I went to the church I grew up at with her. And then she was like, okay, I got to stop by Hy-Vee to get some groceries. I said, okay. So we went to Hy-Vee and we went there. And my mom was like, your son is here. And the mother of your child is here. They're in the aisle over there. I said, what? The thing that struck me, it was this shift that took place in me, because not only did I just go to church and I received some words that day, the sermons were on point, the prayers were on point. I just had this heart posture. Like I'm really paying attention because I really want God, and I'm really searching after God. And the same day that I went to go see God, I ran into my son, and I was seeking God to be in my son's life. I was seeking God to break the addiction of smoking so I could be a good father. That's all I wanted from the Lord. I just wanted to be sober, and I wanted to raise my son. I seen my son at the grocery store that same day, and I live in a small town. And in this small town, as oddly as it is, when you go to the grocery store, you don't just always run into people that you know. I mean, you see people you know, but it wasn't, I just knew it wasn't a coincidence. I knew that this was a God moment. Like, I can't nobody tell me. I got my mindset on God. I'm praying for God. And then, boom, here's my son. His grandma said, "Do you know who that is?" I said, "It's Dad." He was like, Dad, wow, Dad. And he was mind blown because he remembered I was there changing his diapers. I was there feeding him a bottle. I was there playing, doing the shapes and colors with him. And then I disappeared for 7 months. And then I come back in the picture and he's running and talking. And like, he's at that phase of like, he remembered me though. And it broke my heart. Broke my heart in a good way. It softened my heart. Like, I had this determination and this new, like, I can become a good dad. I can be in his life. I can do it because now I got God. So my mom said, "Hey, I'm about to go to another church. I'm about to drop you off." I said, "No, if you're going to a third church today, I'm coming." And I made a decision in my heart that if anybody ever invites me to church, I'm going to go. Yeah. I quit smoking. That day before I went to church, I never touched another blunt again. That Jesus has broke that chain. I'm not addicted to marijuana. And that was one of the main things that was binding me and holding me down. I made a decision to be celibate since that day. I began to not drink. I began to go to church after church after church. I started reading books. The pastor told me to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and different things. So I started reading the Word of God. I picked up this one book, and this guy, he had his biography in it about how he would pray on his knees in the morning and pray on his knees at night. So I started to do that. I started to go to Planet Fitness and work out. So now I'm building these healthy habits. I drink water. I read my Bible. I go to church. And that became my life. And I would just pray. And I started to hear the voice of God more. And he began to talk to me. And out of nowhere, I received joy. I literally, all 2020, I woke up with a smile on my face. And I was just so happy. And the pandemic hit. And I didn't notice. I didn't even know people were wearing masks and stores were shut down. I didn't know any of that. I was aware. But I didn't notice because I was so in his presence and I was just so in love with Jesus that I didn't even care about that stuff. Well, here's the shift. I made a Facebook post because even though I was pursuing Jesus, things was trying to slow me down from getting to church. People would say, "Read your Bible every day." If something's trying to stop you from the church, that's when you know you need to be there. And I start going and I start hearing testimonies from different people, and prayers started to come to pass because I made a Facebook post like, "The enemy is trying to kill my faith because I just lost all my money." It wasn't a lot. I had $60 to my name, but I lost my money trying to give offering in the plate at church. I believe I reached in my pocket, couldn't find the rest of my money. And I wanted to be frustrated, but I was like, "Man, I'm just excited. I'm happy. I got God." And I made a Facebook post and this drummer from another church seen it. And he said, "Hey, man, come to my church." Well, I got picked up by the youth pastor. His name is Breon, which is like my best friend now, my brother in Christ. But he picked me up and he was the same age as me. So my other church, I don't know if I mentioned this, but my other church was all people that were my mom's age and all people that were my grandma's age. And there were no young adults like myself. So when I got there at this new church, almost everybody was like my age. And this is a pandemic going on. I didn't even know the younger generation still went to church. Now I'm 30 now. At the time I was 28. So 18-year-olds, 20-year-olds, 24-year-olds, 28-year-old young people. The pastor is young. He's 35. Like, and it's like this young, fresh, new look. Like everybody's dressed like how I dressed. And it's like everybody's praising and they worshiping and they just love God. And it's like, wow, I felt welcomed. And I began to praise and worship and I began to get discipled because I'm looking around like so unashamed of the gospel. And they began to put me on different stuff like, "Hey, check out Brian T. You can listen to Christian rap." I'm like, "What?" Because all I ever heard of was Lecrae. I never heard Christian rap before. I never heard Lecrae before. I just heard of him from my mentor, Chris. So now I just got this new attitude, like, wow, like I can do it, man. I got brothers and sisters in Christ, man. We going hard for the kingdom. We about to win souls. And I got baptized. And when I got baptized, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. I just was excited. I started to spread the gospel all on my social media page. And I just was so on fire for the Lord. And I remember eight some years ago, back when I wasn't living for him, he said Christian rap. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm never doing music again because I'm a secular artist. I stopped. I gave it all up. And he said, no. The same way you felt that your son wasn't in your life for 7 months, that's how I felt when you wasn't in my life for all of this, for all of that time. And I was like, you love me that much? Wow. And he said, you can't give up. You can't give up music. You can't give up. You can't give up something I gave to you. And I received it as like, you did all that music for the kingdom of darkness. Now it's time to do music in the kingdom of God. Now it's time to glorify me. And even more, you're the vessel. I'm the rapper.
Amen.
God is the artist. He's the headliner. I'm just the vessel being able to spread what he give with the creativeness that he puts into me. I can give it out. And it gave me a new perspective. Like, I used to rap for me and find my identity in the rap, but now my identity is in Jesus Christ. And now I'm pointing people to him. Now this is towards the end of my testimony, just for those that's listening. That was a mouthful, but this is the end of my testimony because that was 2020. We're only in 2022. In a quick space, I went from homeless. I went from depressed. I went from suicidal. I went to from addicted to when I went down in that water and got baptized and came up and all my sins was washed away, covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. People were praying for me. I was reading my word and receiving it. I now have the Holy Spirit to help me walk this walk. And I knew the difference was when I became a new creation. Trying to do all those things on my own, I couldn't do it. But as soon as I gave my life to Jesus and started walking in that walk, I was able to do everything that he wanted me to do, just because majority of it was just broken off of me. And the other stuff, like lust, like looking at women and different things, like those things weren't broken off me, but his word was told me to be obedient and to be self-controlled. And you resist the enemy, he'll flee. And even though we fall short of his glory, he'll be there to forgive us and we can keep going. I don't have to feel shame and regret no more. So I have this new family. All my old friends, everybody before my walk, before the pandemic, when I came out of the pandemic, everybody around me are Christians. I met a girl that reached out to me for Bible study. She just loved how I was carrying myself and she gave me her number. I found out that she was celibate and I had a son. She had two kids. We came together. We were walking. We were talking, sharing each other testimony. We both were on the same path of the Lord. And God put it on my heart, softened my heart for this woman. And we went from friends at a short pace of time to feeling each other to I proposed to her and she said yes. Then we got married. We have a beautiful baby girl named Treasure now. So now not only did God give me my son back, but he gave me a wife and he gave me two other children that didn't have their dads in their life. So now I'm raising four children. I have a wife and ministry has grown because I said, okay, I make five gospel raps. So I made five gospel raps back in 2021, 2020. But then someone said, I was in Kentucky and someone said, man, God is showing me music with you. Like, just make music. And that was confirmation for me. And then I came home and another one was like, God said, you stop dreaming, dream big. You can do it. Keep going. I'm like, okay, I got this. Now I have faith in Jesus Christ. Now I have family. And now I have purpose to spread the gospel. Now I have an outlet on how to minister my testimony and draw the lost with my music. And I got the okay to do it. I was excited because I hit the ground running because I released my first song 7 months ago. Mm-hmm. I released my first song 7 months ago. And within those 7 months, I've met Lecrae. I've met the whole Reach Records. Andy Mineo, Juan Day, Trip Lee, 1K Few. I have a song with him. And I just was persistent putting out more music. And I connected with this guy named Bryce that was rocking with me. And he was a cool guy. We became friends. And he turned out to be Caleb Gordon's DJ. So then now I'm in Milwaukee at the hotel hanging out with Caleb Gordon from Florida. And then I get another call on Instagram. Hey, I'm loving your music pop out. From this guy named Johnny. He turns out to be KMF and Brian T's photographer. So then I went out to eat with KMF and sat down and ate with Antoine and Young Disciples and Brandon Trejo and all of them. And then I did Revival with Brian T. And then I met AI the Anomaly, and she was with God Over Money. And I began to put music out, and Miles Minute commented on my stuff. And I just was on a Zoom call, a FaceTime call with Zonti the other day. And it's like, in the secular world, all these celebrities or high influencers will overlook me. And it seemed unreachable. But now that I'm spreading the gospel, God has been moving me up to a faster pace where it's like, I've been in the room with all the Christian artists that people know that are actually that you can see God is moving with them, or I've been on a call or a text message with them. ASAP Preach followed me on TikTok, KB liking my music on TikTok, and I'm just like, God. And he's like, look, I told you I'm gonna rain down on you, I'm gonna expose you to the world. I said, Lord, if this is what you're calling me to do, I need you to do it. So I don't do any marketing, I don't pay for streams, I don't pay for exposure, I don't pay for followers, I don't do anything but create the music. I don't pay for, I got to share this, respect everybody's craft, whatever anybody has a price on it. But God, he knows that what I come from, I didn't have a lot of money backed up. So people hit me up to shoot music videos for free. People have been hitting me up to get in the studio for free. Photography, clothes. People just hit me up like, man, I love what you're doing. I love your heart pot. And God has been having people just bless me. I have a show in California, and Brian T, Bizzle, Miles Minnick, and a whole lot of Dayton. All of these people are the headliners, and I'm going to be opening up in the showcase at the Invasion Tour. Mm. And all of this is taking place while I just found out about Christian hip hop. And now not only did I get into it, I got into it and I got exposed to, like, man, it's so many Christian artists, mainstream and underground, and God, and I'm able to see, like, okay, Lord, I believe if God called you to do something, it's going to happen. You can be big as a Dayton. You can be big as a Bizzle. You can be, but you have to be ready for it. And I realized all the stuff that I went through in the way that I'm carrying myself and the things that he's put around me. And my purpose is to bridge the gap of the body, to break down the barriers of fame and influence. Because it's like, a lot of Christian rappers like, well, how can I make it, man? How do I blow up? It ain't about that. God said you already made it. You already have influence. The top is an illusion. Even if you're in your local community rapping in front of one person, you're spreading the gospel, it's done. You don't need to be in front of a stadium or an arena just because you see Trip Lee or somebody like that doing that. That's what God called him to do that day, because you wasn't there back when he was rapping in front of three people. It's going to happen to you. It's going to happen for you, but God is not going to, he's not going to bless you with that if you're going to get to a place of, getting back to the question you asked, are you still going to spend time with him? Because he doesn't want us rapping in front of a million people if now we're on a career and we're no longer, and we're spreading ministry, and we're like those people, like, God, I heal people in your name, I pray for people in your name. And he's like, but I never knew you because you cut me off. So yeah, that's my testimony. I was lost, I was broken, I was hurt. God did a 180 in my life, and I'm on Hot 97. Jesus. I'm on Hot 97 this Sunday for the second time. God is showing out in my life as far as music. It's a blessing to be on this podcast talking to you right now, because God did this. I didn't seek it. God said, I'm going to send people your way. And he sent you to me to just have this conversation. That's where I'm at in life. I'm just a man of God walking it out and being appreciative and humble that I even have around 3,000 listeners a month. Not a million yet, but just the 3,000 a month is a blessing to me, because I last year I had zero. So,
amen. Yes, sir. And I appreciate you sharing that and your testimony. I always get the opportunity to talk to that one person out there feeling like it's impossible to win. If you could talk to that person right now that's on the fence of accepting Christ and God's will for their life, what advice would you give them?
Luke 1:37, for nothing shall be impossible with God. nothing shall be impossible with God. And every there is no losses in the kingdom. It's only lessons. It's only ways to advance. It's only God taking you a different route, because what we see as pain and hurt and suffering, that's only stuff that God is putting in our tool shed to be able to give somebody. Remember that time you needed that hammer? Now you see somebody that needs it. Remember that time where you were crying and you needed that tissue? Now you see somebody you can recognize. Oh, I've been through that. Let me help you now. So to look at everything that you go through as, one, wow, God is going to be able to use this to help somebody one day. And two, Jesus said, it's better that I not be born at all if I'm not going to do the will of my Father. So it's an honor to do his will. It's an honor to do whatever it is, to suffer, because he died on the cross for our sins. When people reject us, or they're rejecting him, not us. And when we go through hard times, he's getting in that pit with you, just like lying in, like David in the lion's den, Daniel in the lion's den. He's going to get in that situation with you.
Amen. Amen. You are listening to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast with our special guest, Baruch. Stay locked in as we will be back after these messages.
Yes, sir. You already know what's going on, man. Say, man, shine on me, the soul of the city. I'm locked in to the Bookkeeper 24/7. We in there. It's up there and it's stuck there. You hear me?
What's up? Kayla Kemp back again. Check out Pop Out by Baruch and then back to the Bookkeeper 24/7 podcast. Peace. 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 Peace.
Down slip, you made it. Grew up in that church, I swear I'm living, my mom proud of me. Not slipping on no Pradas, but I'm still a walking prodigy. I remember days of hitting licks with no apologies. Now I follow Jesus, I don't care if you don't follow me. Neighbors like, I see you, I'm like, nah, that's just the man in me. Ain't no need to vent, I talk to him to keep my sanity. I got in that water, it got deeper than a manatee. Wrestling my flesh, cause I can't be let the humanity. I'm my brother's keeper, I support him like a vanity. I got on my knees, I had to pray until he answered me. Devil tried to dance with me, but ain't no way to cancel me. Seeking out direction, so I'm always where I'm supposed to be. I know they gon' notice me, can't let them demons close to me. I pull out that sword, get on they neck just like a rosary. I pull out that book and have them shook, it be a casualty. Time is not gonna wait for me, I turn these words to melodies. Lord, don't take your breath from me, gon' make it to my destiny. You know I was shackled, called his name, and then he set me free. Like, Holy Spirit had your way with me. Nothing they could do with me. Jesus, he ain't make believe. My God ain't forsaking me. Please don't be mistaking me. I go where you taking me. Might bend, but ain't no breaking me. Sticks and stones to break your bones, but you know that word, say your life. I got picky, I was chose, I'm a living sacrifice. At my highs and at my lows, you know I'm a step for Christ. Ain't no darkness on my path, ain't no way to dim my light. I know God, he picked me up, cause I've been laying down my life. I got covered in the blood, and it's healing in the stripes. Can't no weapon ever prosper, I ain't worried about a knife. Big faith, big God, demons not to play with me. Big stepper in the spirit, in a different pedigree. Pull up, hop out, flesh is looking dead to me. Looking dead to me, ooh, looking dead to me. Big faith, big God, demons not to play with me. Big stepper in the spirit, in a different pedigree. Pull up, hop out, flesh is looking dead to me. Looking dead to me, ooh, looking dead to me.
Welcome back to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast, family, where we are sitting down and chopping it up with Christian hip hop artist Baruch. In this segue, I would like to talk about your latest project, Chosen, and some more of your music as well. What is your creative process like when you're putting a project together or a single?
I'll talk about the project first, because this was my first debut project. The process was, I have a homie named Lavish, and that's who I recorded this project with. I find a beat that, for me, as soon as a beat comes on and words start to just click, or melody start to come to me, or I feel the beat, it doesn't matter what type of beat it is. If it moves my spirit, I choose that beat and I put it away in my files for safekeeping. I might write a hook, I might write a verse, but I never fully write an entire song. I like to create while I'm in the studio. And my process is really simple. I go into the studio, I pull the beat up, it's playing really loud. I just stand back and I begin to just pray first. Before I even touch the mic, I have to pray with the engineer, who's ever in the room. We're going to pause and pray. I say, Lord, I just welcome you into the studio session right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, have your way. Lord, use my voice as an instrument. And whoever hears this song, Lord God, I pray first that it brings them closer to you. Yeah, Jesus, have your way. Let it reach the masses in God's name. Amen. I pray, I welcome him in, and then whatever I wrote, I go into the studio right away and I just record. I lay down the hook or I lay down the verse, and then I sit back, I have him play it out loud. And when he plays it out loud, I begin to think and freestyle and just whatever flows to fill in those gaps, to fill in those missing places that I didn't have anything written. I just go in there and punch in, like, all right, hit the record button. And whatever comes out my mouth, I sit back and listen to it. Okay, I like that. I'll do it again. Trim off right there. I didn't like that part. And I go again. And so I never know if it's going to be a rap that comes out. I never know if it's going to be me singing or melodic or harmonizing or whispering. I like to have fun with the process. And then afterwards, I listen to the whole song and kind of critique on, add some reverb, add some echo, because I used to engineer. So I just get to tell them how I hear it in my mind. And the process is usually about, each song probably takes about 20 minutes. And then it takes about maybe 40 minutes for the engineering process to get it to sound. So I get in there and I lay everything down, and I spend the rest of the time on focusing on quality and getting it to sound how I want it to sound.
Amen. I like how you pray before you do it too. That's awesome. All right. So the Chosen EP that you just mentioned, that was your debut project into our space of Christian hip hop. You had songs like Chosen featuring your wife.
Mm-hmm.
All right, which I love that. I love her at the end of that too. Let me add that. Counting My Sheep, Ooh, Red Light, Green Light, Ant Hills, which I love that, the video. And the last song was Good News. So I know what my favorite songs is on the project, which is pretty much all of them, right? So what is your favorite track on Chosen?
Jesus, I love them all too, because they're all, I tell you, why they're my favorites, for which reasons. So Chosen is it gets a glimpse into my perspective. It gets a glimpse into my heart posture. And then my wife is at the end doing spoken word. And obviously those were just church notes. That was just her reading her church notes. And it sets the tone, but then Counting My Sheep kind of just is just like a style that I love to listen to. It's not like all trap and head bumping. It's kind of like being able to talk that talk. But then Ooh is just this vibe that I know that especially the newer and younger generation are going to rock to. But I get to talk, walk in my purpose. I did it on purpose. I'm breaking all of these curses, letting people know what I'm talking about. I like to speak authority and boldness in the kingdom. Ant Hills is the biggest song on that project. Ooh has more streams, but Ant Hills has more of a global international sound and has a video out. And I just really felt the Holy Spirit in the studio that day, because even the main parts of the song, I didn't write it down. It just came to me. Ant Hills is probably my favorite song, but Good News is the song that I pray and hope that people gravitate the most to, because it's actually the gospel. It's actually telling people that you're invited to the kingdom. It's just a good song overall. Like, the sound of it, it gives me like a Kanye West, Kid Cudi type of outer space type of sound. And I just love that song too. But Ant Hills, if I had to delete all the other ones and I only could keep one, I would choose Ant Hills, because that's ready for the radio.
Yes, sir. I like Ant Hills and Chosen. It's probably my favorite too. But, you know, if I had to pick any two off the project. So what did you learn with your debut EP? Is it anything differently you'll do in the future, Lord willing, to your next project? Or is there some elements of what you went through with this process of the EP you're going to take in the direction of the new project maybe in the future?
So the process was, I picked about 4 different cover arts. I put it on Instagram and I let anybody that was there help me choose a cover. And whichever ones they voted on the most, that was the cover I chose. I also said, help me name this project. So bringing people into the creative process to feel a part of it is something I would do again. What I learned is whatever my favorite is, what is not necessarily going to be the listener's favorite. I would probably do everything the same way. I created that project in 1 month. I went to the studio once a week and recorded. There's 6 songs on the project. I recorded maybe 1 or 2 songs each week, and then I put them in order of the way I wanted them to sound. So I don't know if I'll ever do a project that's maybe 12, 15 tracks long. Maybe. I don't know. I might change in that aspect, but I like keeping it short and simple so you can listen to the project over and over and over.
Yes, sir. Plus, in today's world of music, the attention span is kind of short, you know. I heard OB from Rapzilla talking about it one night, and he was saying how singles and EPs right now is kind of the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
In music, period. Yeah, because of the short attention spans. Yes, sir. So tell us about the message behind your song Pop Out.
Yeah, Pop Out is gritty. It's my testimony. It's authentically me. I love Jesus, but I also love, because my background and what I went through, I have a heart for the broken, the heart for the homeless, and the people that are in the streets. My mindset is like, who's praying for the people selling drugs? We're praying for the people that are on them, but who's praying for the people that are actually in jail and the people that are doing heinous things? Like, maybe it'd be murder. Maybe you may shot somebody. And we pray for the people that get shot and that's hurt. But who's praying for the people that are actually doing those type of things? So I feel like my tone, my cadence, the choice of beat would be directed to the people that listen to gangster music. And but I was telling, I grew up in that church house the way I'm living. My mom proud of me. I'm not slipping on no products, but I'm still a walking prodigy. I remember days of hitting licks, but now I follow Jesus. I don't care if you don't follow me. So I'm letting them know I relate. I remember when I was taking and stealing and doing this and that and the third, but now I follow Jesus. And on this side, I can speak about that and you can't waver me. And it's like the same way they feel, like they claiming gangs and this and that and the third, but it's like, no, y'all could be in a Jesus gang. Y'all could be in the kingdom in the same way y'all standing on and fighting for what y'all believe in. Y'all could come over here and with that same energy, because we need y'all that are y'all ready to risk y'all life for a block. Y'all ready to risk y'all life for a color. Do that for Jesus, because he already died for you, you know? Yeah, that's just my testimony. I feel like that's a song that God is going to allow me to get played in clubs, and wherever else they may be playing their music in the streets.
Amen. So is the Pop Out Challenge still going on?
Yes. The Pop Out Challenge, I'm probably going to end it October 29th, just because that's a good day I can remember. That's my birthday. And the whole plan with that is as many artists hop on as they can. And I'm most likely going to choose about 3. Unless a whole lot of more dope creative verses come on there, I'm going to choose about 3 people to be on the remix, whether they're known or unknown. Or just whatever I find to be fire or people vote on, I do a voting thing. And then I'm going to pick some people to be on the actual song.
Amen. So what are you looking for in selecting your verses? Just dope?
Yeah, I'm just looking for originality. I'm just looking for just something that I haven't heard before, because and I've done this before, a lot of people rap like their favorite rapper. And I'm just trying to hear something creative where it's like, I don't care if you like it or not, this is me. I like stuff that people consider weird or different. I'm like, no, there's somebody in this world that's looking for that sound that's gonna probably draw them to Jesus. So I'm just looking for originality. Amen. And wordplay. I love wordplay.
Yes, sir. That's awesome right there. So what was it like working with 1K Few on No Dior?
Man, it was like a breakthrough moment for me because I didn't I didn't expect it to happen. It wasn't planned. I went into the studio, and this is the funny thing. I went into the studio with the Pop Out song on a different beat, and I recorded Pop Out to a different beat. And when I played it back, I didn't like it. So now I didn't have a song to make, and I told the engineer, man, delete that. And I didn't have anything to make, so I pulled up the No Dior beat, and he gave me a little bit. He stepped out the room, and I wrote the verse right then and there. And then I laid it down, and I liked it. I was vibing and really liking that song. And then I seen in 1K Fuse bio that you can contact him for booking or reach out to his management. So I just reached out, not expecting to actually get a hold of anybody, to be honest, not expecting what that process would look like, because he's at the time he did the verse, him and Lecrae had the number one album out. They just went number one that week or that month. So I called the number, or I text the number, and they reached back to me within that same 24 hours, like, hey, this is his feature price. What's your budget? He's willing to come down. I'm like, I'm looking at my wife like, okay, here's an opportunity. Like, I done reached out, and they're responding back to me. I could either pass up on this, because like I said, ministry is ministry, and that whole place of doing features and paying for features, people feel like, well, I got a gift too, and my gift will make room for me. I don't need to pay nobody for nothing. Mm-hmm. Well, 1K Few, I understand he's on a label. I understand that he has people to provide for and pay for. He has a daughter. He has a wife. He doesn't have a 9-to-5 job. So this is sewing into him so he can travel, so he can get dressed, so he can maybe buy his kids some shoes. So I respect that. Also, it shows that I'm serious about what I'm doing. It shows that, God willing, maybe in the future, if we do songs together, they'll be for free. But I'm from Illinois. He's from Atlanta. If you're going to actually spend some money, you're taking serious. You don't go to a barbershop and say, hey, you're a Christian barber, cut my hair for free. I'm a Christian. You know, it just showed that I was professional, and I was not taking for granted the opportunity. And I'm also aware that, yes, I know I can rap. I know God has given me a gift of music, but I'm not going to be like, well, I can rap just as good as you. Put me on the song. Or what? You trying to charge me? I'll just, never mind. I feel like that was for me personally. And I want to speak to any artist that feels a certain type of way about paying for features. Faith without works is dead. If you got faith and you believe, this is a chance for Reach Records to hear my music. This is a chance for whoever listens to 1K Few to hear my music, and allow me to spread that outlet too. I'm not really sure if I can speak on how much, because of it may be different for different artists, and his prices may go up or come down in the future. But I can say that the price was out of my budget, and they came down and met me at a reasonable price that I could afford. And praise God, I did the song during tax season. I got four kids. I got four kids, so I had the money for the feature. My wife supported me and believed, like, do it. I'm like, okay, I'll do it. I have friends that say, man, I'll pitch in. I'm like, okay, cool. So ultimately, I sent in half the money, and I responded back like, they said we can do some payment plans. But the thing is, he already did the feature. He's already recorded. He liked the song, and he's already done. I was like, wow, not only did they respond to me quick, he also jumped on the song and recorded it real quick. I also was thinking, that was kind of quick. I hope he didn't just say anything. Like, I hope the verse is good. But yeah, my wife said, just go ahead, let's take care of it. So my wife, she paid the other half of the feature. And then they sent the song back to me, and I listened to it, and I was like, he didn't play no games. He didn't treat my song like I'm going to just say anything to get some money. He delivered on that verse. I said it's already written, and he picked up, said, if it is written, it's already, like, that means he listened to my verse. The feature, the verse was great. It was amazing. It was my first mainstream look. It was my first mainstream feature, and that opportunity would have been a blessing, because when I put that song out, that was my first song released. A couple of days later, like I said, I had zero streams. I had zero streams at all. I just believed in that God would do something. And I put it out there. Me and my wife prayed, and I woke up on Release Radar on Spotify. Mm. So my streams went from zero to 20,000 30,000 streams. And then people started to add that song to a playlist and my name got out there. So from there, since that day, I dropped multiple songs every single month. I dropped Pop Out. And if you look at my discography, I put out like 32 songs since that time. So like two to three to five songs a month. The first song that people heard from me is Pop Out. A lot of people, so many people stream and hear No Dior, but most people heard Pop Out first, and then they go into my next song with Built Up To Me dropping the project. And when I dropped the project, that's when everything kind of just like, okay, God is like, okay, they see you now. Keep going.
Hey, man, I love your perspective on that. That was awesome, what you shared. And I like how you reached out, they reached back. And Reach Records, it all...
Jesus.
Yeah. It all works together, man. And won't he do it? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. As we get ready to wrap this up, before we talk about any in future projects, if I'm a fan, mm-hmm. why would I follow you?
Because, man, my whole thing is Brute follows Jesus. So if you're following me, you following Jesus. Like, a man that's not following Jesus can only lead you to himself. So following me is just saying that you already follow Jesus. So following me is like headed to where you're trying to go anyway. I'm going to lead you to truth.
Amen. Amen. And last but not least, fam, let the people know where they can follow you at and cop your music.
For sure. Yeah. All right. This is the rap moment. Check it out, man. Y'all can find me on Instagram at Baruch Follows Jesus. Y'all can find me on YouTube at Baruch Follows Jesus. I'm on every streaming platform, every major outlet, Spotify, Apple Music. Everything is Baruch. That's my first name. That's my government name, Baruch. I appreciate you. If y'all go stream me, go follow me so we can just spread this gospel.
Yes, sir. Baruch Follows Jesus. I appreciate you being on the podcast, my brother. Family, you know where you can follow us at. Just go to your favorite web browser and put in hashtag TBK247. Baruch, man, I'm just blessed to have this interview with you, my brother. And I pray that the Lord will continue to guide you, to lead you, to feed you, so you're able to guide, lead, and feed others. I see big things in your ministry. May you be blessed. May your family be blessed. And thank you for stopping by the show, my brother.
Praise God. I appreciate the opportunity. And just, I received that. And I'm looking forward to just building and seeing your podcast and your show grow as well, because you are a blessing to us as artists. So thank you.
Yes, sir. And we're out, family. We'll see you on the next one. Peace.
Peace.
Thank you for joining us. Remember, you can help us by liking, sharing, commenting, and subscribing. We are on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, AudioMac, and many more platforms. If you would like to donate a monetary blessing, go to the description located inside the show notes. There, you will have an opportunity to give a one-time blessing or monthly if you choose. Basically, whatever the Lord puts on your heart to give will be very much appreciated. The donations will help our ministry help others, as well as our growth regarding better equipment, so that we can spread the word of God even further. Thank you again, and until next time, God bless. God bless. God bless. God bless.